This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi, truth in engineering.
Well, Mark O'Meara is a two-time major champion, one of the newest members of the World Golf Hall of Fame. It is a pleasure, a real pleasure, to welcome Mark O'Meara back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Mark.
Hi, John. How are you? It's great to be back.
Well, thank you for doing this. When we spoke last time, you'd just been inducted. So tell me about July. Tell me about the experience at St. Andrews.
Oh, it was an amazing week. Certainly, as we talked about last fall, around October, November, I got the call from the commissioner about getting the nod and elected into the World Golf Hall of Fame. And then I realized that the ceremony was going to be at St. Andrews the week of the Open Championship. And, you know, all the drama that led up to that week, obviously being a former Open champion and then having the ceremony at Younger Hall on the Monday of the Open Championship was truly amazing. I had my family there, a lot of my friends, a lot of my father, my father's and mother's friends. My mom and dad are no longer alive, but a lot of them came to pay respects and obviously honor the son of their good friend and you know, my dad, my mentor. So it was great to be alongside David Graham, Laura Davies, who came in late because she was playing in the Women's U.S. Open, and I believe it was Philadelphia, and then, you know, the A.W. Tillinghast family. So, yeah, it was something I'll never forget for sure, John.
Any nervousness that week or just all excitement?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous now. I don't mind doing public speaking, but when you're on that stage and knowing it was live TV and that first the Golf Hall of Fame had come to me and said, hey, you know, we'd like to see your speech. And I first asked them, how long can I speak for? And then they were like, at first they said like 3 to 4 minutes because we're live TV. And I'm like, how can you speak for 3 or 4 minutes about a career that's been 35 years in the making and the people that have impacted my life? So I said, 3 to 5 minutes. How about if I just get up and say thanks and sit down? They said, no, well, wait a minute. You know, we probably 10 minutes. We just don't want you to go over too much. And we have a teleprompter and everything. And I said, look, I don't do teleprompters. You know, I got to speak from my heart. So I'll write down a couple things and let me know when I'm supposed to go up there. And I'll try to calculate how long. I watched a rerun of my speech. And I feel like I did a decent job. A lot of people thought it was really nice. A lot of my fellow peers came up to me and said, hey, you didn't even write anything down up there, did you? I said, well, I had a little car, but I never really looked at it. And there were some things I might have missed that I would have liked to have said, but overall, I felt like I did a fairly decent job.
Well, good for you. You know, we had this discussion after Zach won there later in the week. If you got to win two major championships, and that's all you can win, you and Zach both have Masters and Open championships. We decided they love you forever at those championships afterwards. Those have to be the best two.
I know that
you'd love a U.S. Open. You'd love a U.S. Open, I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I'm a former U.S. amateur champion, so I have won a USGA event. At one time, that was a major championship when Bobby Jones won the British and the U.S. amateur and the British Open and the U.S. Open. But I would say this. I would say that you're right. In the sports world, you know, the Masters being the first major of the year, April at Augusta National, the green jacket that you win, and the fact that you become a member and a part of a small part of history at Augusta National that everybody wants to go play, everybody wants to go witness and see. And like Zach, you know, certainly has won a Masters, and now, you know, that he's won the Open Championship at the home of golf too. And me being a former Open Champion winner at Birkdale in 98, you're right. I mean, the Lynx golf, the people in the UK, whether it's in Ireland or Scotland or England, they just have a tremendous, tremendous passion for the game of golf.
How fun was the Champions Challenge?
It was cool. It was cool because I was paired with Tiger, who I hadn't seen in a while. you know, Tom Weisskopf, who's a friend and a person I really have grown to love and idolize and respect. I mean, he, you know, he was the kind of the man, I mean, at one time. I mean, he certainly came up along Nicklaus and all those eras, so he witnessed some of the greatest of the great play in the game of golf. But, you know, to play alongside Tom and Tiger and Nick Price was non-playing, but he was out there with us because his elbows have given so much problem. It was fun and watch, you know, luckily I birdied the first hole. We didn't birdie two. Tiger birdied 17, and then Tom Weisskopf made the putt on 18 for birdie. So it was, yeah. I mean, if any of your listeners have never had a chance to go to an Open Championship, trust me, they should go because it'll be well worth it.
We are talking with Mark O'Meara, newest member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. I know you get all the stuff at the hall and the display and everything, but do you get anything personal from the hall? Is there a ring or something?
No, they sent us a beautiful like crystal trophy that we have, and I have it here at my house now in Houston. And it's really nice. And so, like you said, I'm going to try to actually, I got to be in St. Augustine in November, so I'm going to go visit the hall again. But when you enter the hall, if no one's ever had a chance to go to the World Golf Hall of Fame, they should really take a chance if they're down in that Jacksonville area or they're cruising along 95. Because I went to it for my first time last spring, and I was amazed at the artifacts that they have there, at the history of the game, not just guys that have played professionally, but just all the aspects of the game of golf. And it's a, you know, a nice 3 or 4 hour walk through some great memories. And early for us, I mean, if you come into the hall, there's displays for David Graham and Laura Davies and A.W. Tillinghast and myself that we've donated for about a year and a half that they put on display. And then as you proceed towards the end of your tour of the World Golf Hall of Fame, there's the locker room.
Yep.
And each member of a World Golf Hall of Fame that has been inducted to the World Golf Hall of Fame has their own locker that's permanent there. And they're able to put in any type of artifact or things that they love or hobbies that they do into their locker. So that's kind of a neat thing to see at the end, too.
Next time you see Jack Nicklaus, ask him why there's a bottle of David Frost wine in his locker.
I will.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You know, I'm curious about a couple of things before I let you go. You've played this game at the highest levels for a very long time. What do you think about when you see just how far these guys on the PGA Tour hit the golf ball?
Well, you know, obviously I'm amazed, but I would say that, you know, there are a lot of times people say, old and new, that, you know, the ball's going too far, the equipment's too good, it's hurting the game, all this stuff. I reckon to say, look, I've played it about three different eras. You know, I grew up idolizing Jack Nicklaus. I turned pro in Ben Hogan's office. I knew Mr. Hogan. So I would say that what's happened is, sure, the equipment's gotten better. Yeah, the ball's better, absolutely. But that was never going to change. I mean, things get better. That's just the way technology works. And as long as it's legal, you know, I really don't have a problem with it. And what I would reckon to point out is that the athletes are better. And a lot of that is driven because of what Jack did and certainly what Tiger did. You know, Tiger came on board, physically changed his body, was hitting the ball far. Every young kid hits the ball far now. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's quite amazing and extraordinary more than anything else. And, you know, when you take a look at it, the top 10 best players in the world, yeah, they all hit it pretty far. I mean, Jordan Spieth, number one now in the world, he doesn't hit it as far as some of the other players. But yet, the one thing that the best players have, no matter how far you hit the ball, if you cannot chip and putt, and if you don't have a good short game, and you can really roll the ball and make putts, you're not going to be a top 10 player in the world. So that aspect of the game, it doesn't take power. You know, I preach that to the young kids. I said, look, I know you all want to hit it far. I think that's great. But if you don't chip and putt well, and that doesn't take strength, you're never going to be the player you want to be.
Back in your heyday, older clubs, a lot of balls, you could stretch a 7-iron how far?
You know, about a 150, 155.
Yeah.
And I can hit 7-iron no problem that far now.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, how far do you stretch a 7-iron today?
160, sometimes 165, 162. But the lofts have changed too,
yeah,
John. In fairness,
yeah.
You know, they've made the loft stronger on these clubs. And, you know, the weights of the club, the overall weight, the shafts, the design of the shafts and everything are half as heavy as they used to be. So lighter shaft, better technology, the golf ball's better, and then a little less loft on all your irons. You know, your 7-iron today would have been probably a 6-iron back in the day. So you combine all those things together, and that's another reason why it seems like the ball is going further. But, you know, the athletes are bigger and stronger, like we said. I mean, Tom Weisskopf, as I pointed out earlier, was an extremely tall man in his day. Well, almost every player is as big as Tom Weisskopf now out there.
You seem happy, and you seem to be in a really good place, are you?
I am. You know, I was remarried about 6 years ago to Meredith here in Houston, and you know, she's been just a tremendous partner, a big asset in what's transpired in my life over the last 7 years, because I was a little bit of a dark place there for a while. And, you know, luckily I have my health, and my kids are doing well, and my stepson is doing well. And, you know, she's motivated me. So, you know, in life, you got to be around people. My biggest thing in life has always been, you know, be around people that can help make you better.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mark, for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, John. Thank you.